A public inquiry kicks off at 10 o'clock this morning, aimed at examining an attempt by George Best Belfast City Airport to change part of its planning agreement. The airport wants to remove a seats for sale cap, but a number of residents groups and areas under flight paths have concerns over the noise. The airport is limited to selling no more than 2 million departing seats per year. The inquiry in Belfast is scheduled to hear evidence over 4 days. Brian Ambrose, George Best Belfast City Airport's chief executive, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, the residents have had enough, Brian, haven't they? And they don't want any more hassle.
Well, we have a planning agreement that allows us to operate 48,000 flights. The seats for sale is a bit like having planning permission for a 100-room hotel, but we can only offer for sale 75 of those rooms. So it's that part of the planning agreement we're trying to change. We're not asking for any increase to the limit of flights, which will stay at 48,000.
All right. So, well, that's interesting. So there won't be any more planes, in other words. The planes are going anywhere. You just want to be able to fill them, fill the seats.
Well, we're allowed 48,000 flights. Last year we were circa 38,000, but it's this seats for sale restriction that will prevent us from developing the European market. We're launching routes this morning to Amsterdam with KLM, but if we're going to expand into Europe and create this niche European market, we will need to have this seats for sale limit removed.
Well, Liz Fawcett from Belfast City Airport Watch, how can you argue against that? They're not putting on any more noise, they're just filling their seats.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, they absolutely are, I'm afraid, going to be putting on a whole load more noise. What they're going to be doing is trebling the number of jet flights. That's from a level of about 14,000 last year to 43,000. That's their own projective figures. Their own projective figures say that the serious noise impact will go up from 4,000 residents being seriously impacted to 18,000. If you look at the current situation, Stephen, you're probably going to hear from local residents shortly. I'm one of them myself. But we have a situation at the moment, as an independent survey that we commissioned shows, where a quarter of residents under and close to the flight path have their sleep disrupted on a fairly regular basis.
Well, Brian Ambrose, Liz, loads of time this morning. Brian Ambrose, maybe you can address that. So are you increasing the number of flights from whatever Liz said there, 14,000 to 40,000?
No. We have circa 38,000 last year. The planning permission allows it to go to 48,000, but we can't do that with the seats for sale restriction in place.
Right, so there would be more flights.
I said that up front, yes. We were looking to expand into Europe. Northern Ireland has very poor connectivity. There's a demand from both tourism and from the businesses to develop.
You say, Brian, that you said this up front, but the press statement from Belfast City Airport says the removal will not mean more flights, as this is capped at 48,000 per annum. But you say it won't mean more flights. It could mean more flights, couldn't it?
We're saying the same thing. We have not asked for any increase to the number of flights within our planning agreement, but it's public figures. We publish them. We're seeking to grow the business, to grow the European network, and absolutely that will mean more flights. Just like London City have just got planning permission to grow to 120,000, we have not asked for an increase beyond 48,000, but we can't grow with this restriction in the number of seats we can. The planning agreement is ironic. It says you can sell flights, but you can't fill the seats. And that's the bit that we need to have changed.
That sounds bizarre, Liz, to be fair to him.
Stephen, what they're actually talking about is a major major change in the mix of aircraft. At the moment, most of the flights operating from the city airport are the quieter turboprop type of flights. But what they're planning is up to 90% of flights being noisier jets. That's the problem. Not bigger planes, sure. Not more overall in terms of the overall limit, but a dramatic change in terms of the actual mix of aircraft. Is this going to be good for the economy? No, it isn't, because all we're doing at the moment is we are dividing up the international traffic between what should be our international airport and city airport. City's just announced flights to Amsterdam, to Barcelona, new flights. What do those do? Well, actually, they just duplicate what is already at international airport. Who's the winner? Winner is Dublin. Just last week, Dublin released figures which show that a 50% increase in the number of passengers coming from Northern Ireland and choosing to use Dublin rather than any of our airports in Northern Ireland. What we need to do, if there is to be any increase in capacity, is to have that increase at the international airport on a greenfield site, which hardly impacts on any residents at all, rather than massively increasing the capacity at a city airport, which is indeed right in the centre of a very densely populated area.
Elizabeth Bennett, you live under the flight path. What's it like?
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
I could find the right words to tell you exactly how I feel. It is a nightmare. I live right under where the planes are going out. So morning, noon and night, afternoon, you name it, and there's planes going over my rooftop. And the noise is horrendous. We do have two of the heavier planes going out. And my goodness gracious, Stephen, it would put your head away. I don't care what Mr. Ambrose is saying there. It's, to me, they're trying to turn our city airport into an international one. We have a pretty good international airport. Why? Why? And I'm asking the question, are they trying to turn the city airport into an international one?
Brian?
Well, I mean, the point has been made, there's lots of people flying out of Dublin. Northern Ireland does not have the direct access. The market doesn't work like that. Airlines, when we go to talk to them, they'll look at the airport, they'll look at the infrastructure. We have created a modern gateway, and airports or airlines are choosing to operate from this airport. It's not for government or anyone else to dictate where airlines operate from. They can decide whether to fly from Dublin, Belfast City or Belfast.
Well, it is actually. That's called planning permission, isn't it? It's for government to dictate when they look at the whole picture of how it affects the community, how it affects the landscape around them, Brian.
Absolutely not. No government in Western Europe dictates which airport an airline operates from.
No, but they dictate, they dictate the volume of flights from an airport, taking on board impact on the local community.
Well, they take the, and we're willing to work within that limit of 48,000 flights. We have this bizarre limit, which is linked back to the physical capacity of the old terminal, which is now demolished. So we're saying we're willing to operate within the 48,000 flights. We're willing to operate within the operating hours. We're not asking for any extension, but we're asking for this limit, which is based on a building which is now demolished to be removed. And, you know, we are still a small, modest regional airport. There are people across the UK and across the world who live under flight paths. Those who live under our flight path are offered more protection than most other residents.
What are they offered?
Well, we don't operate flights during the night. We don't operate the noisier, older generation cargo aircraft. And we don't operate any of the wide-body aircraft, jumbo jets, as they're generally known, the 747s. So we restricted the narrow-bodied regional jets and turboprops. So there is that protection. But I've heard the lady who was on speaking, and I do acknowledge there are people who live under the flight path and they are impacted by noise. You cannot, we're honest with people, you cannot run an airport without creating noise. All we can do is seek to operate to the highest possible standards, and I believe that's what we do. We're the same as any other airport. We have people living under the flight path. But having said that, when you speak about residents, we have a lot of support from residents. We're one of the largest employers in this region, and 2.8 million people will vote with their feet this year and choose to fly from this airport.
Yeah, but lots of them might not live under the flight path, to be fair. Liz?
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, the airport produced figures in 2011 showing that it directly employed 90 people. How many of those came from East Belfast? 16. 16 people. It does have overall employment impact figures, but what it doesn't provide is a breakdown of just exactly how many people would be employed in the local area. At the end of the day, these are jobs that could be at international airport or they could be at city. When Aer Lingus came from international to city, what happened? The job simply transferred. So there's a general employment gain and employment benefit from both airports, but it's not restricted to one. And indeed, you know, if city simply continues to duplicate what's already happening at international, all you're doing is weakening the ability of any airport in Northern Ireland to compete directly with Dublin. And all you're doing is, it's no net employment gain. We can't see how City Airport could say that there's going to be a genuine net employment gain, which couldn't happen at international from these proposals.
It's important I correct one factual point, because my chairman's over today for a board meeting. We do not run this airport with 90 people. What we have pursued over the last 5 to 10 years is we've signed up partnership agreements. For example, we have 100 security staff, but they're provided by an independent security firm. We have 100 staff providing check-in, baggage handling. They're not employed by the airport. We have a specialist provider. So the 90 are those that, like the overhead, people like myself and our finance team. So I just don't want it to suggest that we run the airport.
Okay, here's Matthew in East Belfast. I know you've got to go, Bram. One more minute, then we'll let you go, mate. Matthew, go ahead.
Hi, Stephen. I live in East Belfast. I have done all my life, and I really don't see the impact that the airport causes, because I live about 2 minutes away from the airport, and after a while, you do not hear any noise.
Hardly not hear the planes.
You just, it's an oversight, you know, you don't hear it after a while, you know, it's part of the environment, and that's, you know, there's no more, you don't hear any more noise than what you do normally, you know what I mean?
Okay, thank you. David, you would disagree. Morning, David.
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, I just think they have a cap on, they're not meant to have flights, you know, before a certain time and after a certain time, but the amount of times they break that. I live in East Belfast, I live in Conns, down Conswater there. And early in the morning, before 7 o'clock, there's flights going off, maybe 3 or 4 flights before 7 o'clock in the morning. And then at night, you would get the odd flight. I'm just glad for people like Liz. I don't know Liz, obviously, but for people that research this and look into this, it's desperate. If they have more flights, when I'm out in the garden, if you're out in the garden and a plane comes over, you have to stop your conversation. You can't talk to somebody. I've had friends who live in maybe Lisburn coming down to visit me. And you're out in the garden, and they're so surprised and shocked to see a plane almost at the end of your garden taken off.
Well, look, the airport's there to stay, isn't it? So,
well, you see, the airport started, Short started the airport as for testing planes, basically. And what you've done, you've expanded an airport. You couldn't even get the expansion right, because when you expanded it, you didn't even move the terminal for the train. You know what I mean? People have to stand and walk up 100 yards or 200 yards to get from the train station. You know, you're just expanding. This is all to do with money. I would say, is it Mr. Ambrose, is it?
Yes, it is.
I would say you don't live in East Belfast. You don't live anywhere near that airport.
Brian?
How would you like if I come up with high-volume speakers, and every time a plane goes off, I record outside your house on a Sunday morning or something?
Do you want to respond to that, Brian?
Well, I've worked in East Belfast for 39 years. So
try living there. Try living there.
I know the region. Look, we're owned by an international company. We're governed by international standards. We work extensively with the local community. You're never going to eliminate the fact that if you live near a railway track, a dual carriageway, an airport, you'll be impacted by noise. We can't develop as a region unless we have direct access.
That's nonsense.
Well,
we've an international airport. Build a train line up to the airport, like every York company.
Well, the international airport is Brian's competitor.
These are private companies.
Exactly. The private companies. It's nothing to do with noise or resonance. It's to do with you making as much money as you can, and you don't care about resonance. Basically, at the end of the day, you couldn't care less about people's mental health, their welfare, their quality of life in East Belfast, because all you want to do is make money for your shareholders, your business, and that's what businesses do.
Do you deny that, Brian?
Well, I think we have one of the most effective...
Let's let him finish.
One of the most effective, we work with local schools, with local colleges. We have an apprenticeship program where we take young people who have dropped out of the system with no qualifications. We do work effectively with the local community, but we are a business and we're seeking to expand. There's a market demand for growing into Europe. We're seeking to meet that demand. There's an inbound tourism. Northern Ireland have a growing an impressive tourism product. We'll never grow that unless there's direct flights. Now, if Belfast International can win those flights, that's great, that's good for the economy. We're out seeking to win those flights as well. At the moment, most of that business is going to Dublin, and we have to...
But, Brian, the argument is, surely, that we don't need your airport in order to improve the economy, because the economy can benefit from more flights, more business going to the international airport, where there's less impact on residents.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, they've had a free run for a number of years. If they want to develop the business, we're not stopping them developing the business. We're competing in an open market. But you do not have governments dictating which airport which airline goes to which airport. We've invested in this. We've created a modern gateway, and there's now a demand to fly into this gateway. If you speak to businesses in Titanic Quarter, they believe one of the best assets that we have is the centrally located city airport, and that's helping INI bring in business. If you look at inbound tourism, you will see an increase in visitors coming.
Okay.
That's all well and good, but can I ask one question before I go, because I'm actually heading to work here. If he's so concerned about the residents, would he think of putting triple glazing in for people on the flight path?
That
would at least alleviate if they wanted to have more flights. Triple glazing in.
That's a fair question, Brian.
That's a fair question. There are UK standards as to when airports have to intervene. There are no houses within the vicinity of Belfast Airport that have noise exposure that would require the airport to intervene.
No, I think he's asking as a gesture. Would you contemplate doing it? If you care about the residents, Brian, as a gesture, not what you're legally required to do, gesture to the local community, would you contemplate doing that?
Well, as a gesture, we don't do gestures. We do things professionally.
You make money.
Hold on. Let's let him finish.
Residents here are already afforded the protection we've outlined, and if any houses, the commitment is there, fall within the threshold. I mean, I can't go to an international shareholder and say that as a gesture I've decided to do something. They expect to be governed by the same standards as any other airport in the UK, and we will be, and if any houses fall within that threshold,
okay,
we will certainly meet all the requirements required of us, but we already go well beyond the national standards.
Okay, so basically in a nutshell, Brian, you're not prepared to do anything more than the bare minimum that you're legally required to do.
That's incorrect. Totally incorrect. We go way beyond.
You just said you don't do gestures.
No, I don't do gestures. We do concrete things like the operating hours, like the narrow-bodied aircraft, like no wide-bodied jets. We have no cargo.
Sorry, you don't have the runway. You don't have the runway for the capacity for the wide jets, do you?
We have the capacity to operate night flights, but we don't.
The wide jets that you reassure us you won't use so that the community aren't disrupted. You can't because of your runway, can you?
Not the runway. There's no physical demand. We're a small region with less than 2 million people.
Okay.
The point I'm simply making is that a human being, a resident living close to Liverpool Airport or close to Manchester Airport, will have these wide-body aircraft operating. So there already is that protection. We have the restricted operating hours. These are not gestures. These are hard, concrete measures that are in place.
Okay.
And it's not a gesture. I'm committing publicly that if any houses fall within the threshold that the UK standards require us to make further investment, we will make that investment without any question.
We appreciate your time, Brian. Thank you. Liz Fawcett, thank you very much indeed.